Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Developers are already putting the finishing touches on Modern Warfare 3, which they say will be the most true-to-life military game ever created, with the majority of gameplay spent hauling equipment and filling out paperwork.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanel here. We just took a little trip across town.
Yeah.
Because I forgot the microphones. Mm-hmm. Some would say a key part of podcasting.
Yeah.
It depends. If we shout loud enough, some people might be able to hear us.
If we shout loud enough, the whole world will hear.
Yeah, we recorded for about 45 minutes just talking into the end of the lead.
Yeah.
Before I realized, hang on, this headphone that's in my ear, I can't hear a damn thing.
This microphone feels lighter and more wiggly than normal, but I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to cause a ruckus. My name's Adam Knox, by the way.
Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you.
Exciting to talk about my new book.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay, I'm doing my press tour. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's that called again?
It's called House of Leaves. And okay. I've been contacted by a few lawyers recently.
Right, right. But you're like, it's about leaving the house.
Yeah.
It's not like, there's not a picture of an
autumn. There's a character named House of
who
leaves. Oh, so my one's completely different.
Yeah.
I know someone who'd love this book.
Who?
The Big Bad Wolf.
Okay, good. Well, that's one copy sold.
I thought you were going to say the other Big Bad Wolf. Let me be frank.
Oh, yeah.
The other House of.
Yeah. Hey, quick pivot. May I quickly
plug
some tour dates that I have coming up?
Rest in peace, Matthew Perry.
Hobart this Thursday, November the 16th at the Hobart Brewing Company, 7:30 p.m.
Tonight.
Come check that out. Tonight? Oh, yeah. Damn.
Is that
too late?
Wait, Thursday or Friday night?
Thursday.
Yeah, that's happening.
Well, you've missed it. But, hey,
you
might have just seen the show, and I pray that you did.
Yes.
Well, hey, if you're in Hobart and you did miss it, what you can do is you can travel up to the mainland to see me in Sydney, November the 23rd at the Lord Gladstone, or Melbourne, November the 30th at Stupid Old Studios, taping my special.
A bit closer to Tasmania, that one.
A little bit closer. Yeah. And I tell you what, if this show that I was working on was a video game and I was a video game developer, in about 4 months' time, I would be blowing the whistle on myself because, brother, I'm crunching.
Oh, yeah.
Can you release a patch to a live show after the fact?
A lot of late nights in at Tony Studios right now, just burning the midnight oil on that iPad.
Well, while we're doing promo, I've got a book coming out. It's called House of Leaves. I think if we have a second crack at this, we'll be able to come up with
Yeah. Quick pivot. Patreon.com/filthycasualspod. That's my plug for the day. It's where you can support us to help us continue doing this show. We have costs. We have microphones to leave at home.
We have petrol to use driving back to my house to get some mics.
A hot Fitzroy minute. Which was, what would it have been, Knox? About 7 minutes? 10, 15?
In dog minutes, quick pivot. Speaking of crunch, it's a pivot and a segue.
Whoa!
That's when you see people spinning around on the hoverboards. Yeah. That's what I've done.
Yeah. Knox is going to tell us what cereal he had this morning. Speaking of crunch.
How many? I had I didn't have breakfast, but I did have a look at the news from last week.
Okay.
Speaking of the newspaper.
Yeah.
Empty.
What's going on?
Knox sitting there at the kitchen table, empty bowl.
Yeah.
Still likes the routine of like, you know, moving the spoon towards his mouth, but there's just nothing in there.
I get milk out of there. I have a cat's breakfast. Speaking of crunch, Grand Theft Auto 6
got
pre-announced, sort of. They're going to release a trailer in early December, they said. It's their 25th anniversary, must be longer than that.
Of GTA Rockstar. 5 coming out.
was it December 8th or something? I feel like was the floated date?
30th anniversary. I don't think they said the date of the trailer. I think I don't they think said they early did, December.
Yeah, I think maybe
you'd have
people,
to assume maybe Game Awards, right?
People were speculating that, but also right. Rockstar are big enough that they probably would be done a disservice by being attached to something
that's
smaller than themselves.
Yeah. They can just drop it on Twitter whenever they want.
Exactly. Right, Red Dead 2 style, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been an awfully long time coming. I mean, not if you include Red Dead 2 in the middle, but even so, 5 years apiece or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next year sort of likely because of the earnings call stuff that I think we talked about at some point already.
Right. Yeah. What was the lead time between them announcing Red Dead 2 and it coming out?
I think it was quite a bit more. It was a couple was a years because little... right. they had that like just photo that went up on Twitter or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, the silhouettes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'd love to see more of just like, here's confirmation. It's out in 4 months. Would love to see more of that become the norm. Not these like, 5 year lead times of like a logo and then sitting around waiting.
And obviously GTA 6 is a weird one because people have known and expected. It was obviously going to happen eventually. So like no need to even announce it.
Yeah, you don't need to give people time to get their heads around it and get ready and get the pre-orders in. People are ready.
There were those leaks.
Yeah.
Which contained an enormous amount of the game, and that was about a year ago now.
Here's what I think. I reckon in the game, there's going to be at least a couple of wry gags about the leaks.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think they can resist.
Yeah.
They'll tear anyone apart.
Yeah, I think those ribald jesters in there at Rockstar.
Yeah, they'll take down those big targets like that dude in his bedroom hacking the...
Yeah.
Like, they should. They should have a go at him. Fuck him.
I mean, they've taken him down to the prison nearby.
Good.
I believe that guy.
It's so something you can imagine just like on the radio station, you know, hearing a news update about like, you know, someone leaked the new Lifehacker or whatever bullshit.
That's a real website, Lifehacker. Life Invader.
Life Invader, sorry.
Projected.
we're going to get sued.
There will be, because so it's like the two characters that you're playing as, one of whom is a woman for the first time as a protagonist in a GTA game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she apparently will have a child in cutscenes and stuff.
Okay.
Probably not in gameplay, I would imagine. But I reckon there's going to be a lot of like millennial jokes, as in jokes about millennials.
Okay.
I reckon she will be a millennial age.
I'm ready to get skewered. I can handle it.
Yeah. The first time. It's about time someone had a go at us.
Yeah. You've never gone on TikTok, have you?
Yeah.
Dude, they fucking hate us.
No, I know. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Do you know why? Oh, they don't start the video immediately.
Yeah.
Fuck you. We pioneered the idea of
we're
video.
We're not fucking like boomers who own seven houses. We're with you, Zoomers. We have no money and no prospects.
And guess what? You can order us around and we'll do anything.
Yeah.
And we're the key members of your army.
That's right.
You can tell us to go wherever.
And hey, working on this special, I'm moving stuff around in the show to be able to start the thing when it's recorded immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is annoying to do. But it's almost like, is that worse? Like, is that more pathetic to be like...
To kowtow.
An older guy who's like, you know, are they going to see through that immediately?
Yeah.
And be like, this is pathetic. You should have just held your nerve.
Guess what? There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, be like Marty. Do a fucking 3.5 hour movie. Slow build up.
Yeah.
He's not pandering.
I'm not willing to see the millennial jokes anymore. Millennials are ruining the millennial joke industry. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. All the stuff about the technical bits and pieces that we've gotten recently. Yeah.
I gotta say though, you know, it does bleed into all this stuff that I was saying about, you know, Mario Wonder getting announced and then just coming out like, you know, 3 or 4 months later. The announcement of the date of the trailer. You know what I mean? It's a bit like, we don't need to put... It's like music festivals now love being like, hey, these are the big announcement. These are the dates that the festival is on.
Right.
And then the lineup is coming in 2 months. It's like, I don't care what dates it is if I'm not interested in the lineup. Just give me the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't give me the date that the lineup is dropping.
Yeah.
Just drop the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just put the trailer out.
I reckon it won't be as long of a stretch this time.
Surely not, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. People are desperate for it to come out. And it feels like a year. A year is probably enough.
And then
with how rapidly things change,
a 4 to 5 month delay on that, I bet.
Yeah.
So whatever they announce probably won't be when it shows up for real. But hopes are that the online stuff is maybe more appealing to me because the people who play GTA Online really fucking play it.
Yeah.
So I would like to get that this time, but also the single player thing to be completely separate. And I would like a better story than 5 because Red Dead 2 had a great story.
Yeah.
And I can't really recall enjoying the one from 5.
Yeah, I don't really care about the online so much, but I do hope that the success of that hasn't, you know, made them... They seem like they get it. They seem like they are still very focused on expansive single player stuff and not sort of cannibalizing that.
And it does well for them still. Yeah. Like Red Dead 2, they... had an online mode in that, but you know, didn't stretch it out in the way that they did with the 5 one.
Didn't seem like people really took to it.
No,
in the
I think
same
they
way.
Kind of flubbed it a bit. Is the reason why they didn't?
It's easier
keep it
to.
Going.
Well, it's also just easier to add stuff to a modern setting where you can go. This new car's in it. Yeah. There's not a ton that you can really do.
This horse has paint on it.
horse armor. But and
Lego
like,
horse,
like you say, like the single player of it was one of the best games ever made. So clearly they. That's still a focus because GTA Online was already a cash cow before Red Dead 2. So,
but the GTA Online thing was weird as well because GTA 4 had multiplayer as well, and like 5's online taking off in the way it did seemed to also surprise them to some extent, which is why so much of what I don't find appealing about it, in that like a bunch of stuff seemed shoehorned in, and when I have played it, it kind of only half works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's got these long, and I haven't played it in fucking ages, but like long loading times between things. It just never felt great to me.
It has a very long introductory, like tutorial scripted thing as well, which I found odd for something that is like a, you know, like widely expansive free roaming online multiplayer thing. It was like you do like 4 single player missions.
The whole thing always felt a bit weird. So it would be cool for them to obviously be coming into this, you would assume, with an idea of how to make that a cleaner, more forward looking.
You want to carry people over, but you also do want to sort of slate it for new people.
What will happen with it? Because it's like, it's a part of the GTA 5 installation. Will the new game be a new GTA Online, or will they just keep the old one?
I could imagine it being like a Warzone or whatever with Call of Duty, where it like GTA Online is free, but you have to pay for things, and it comes in with 6.
And your GTA Online, like current GTA Online account, transfers.
I suppose
it
so.
Has
they
to, right?
they have like Rockstar. Accounts, the Rockstar Social Club, and they've got like Rockstar Plus and whatever, which lets also have a subscription, and you get like some of the old GTA games and stuff. I'm not quite sure how that works, and you get a certain number of points every month.
But like, when was
like,
that?
What's the Ubisoft one? Like Uplay Plus or whatever.
Yeah, but just with even fewer games than that access, I guess. But so that obviously they would be looking at this of like, well, how can we make the most money possible from? That's how every business looks at everything, but then also
not like, this one
specifically the online.
We're creative first.
How long can we get away with not having microphones? Can we cut that cost? Would that work?
Well,
that last
if
one
it aids the artistic presentation.
That last one seemed like it carried on for much longer than they would have been expecting. So
100%
going into this, going like, if we play our cards right here, this is potentially a 10-year thing that we only need to, you know, do. A skeleton team can just carry on with the support of it while we do something else in the background.
Mm.
If we don't botch the, you know, the rollout of it.
And I think it would be almost the opposite of that, where they're like, we're going to have a team really focused on this for the next 10
We know
years.
That it's worth it if,
Which would be cooler, because I think that, all the updates and everything that you see, again, or have seen for the last 10 years for GTA 5 online have never been that appealing to me, because they're like attaching it to this thing that wasn't meant to go for that long.
Well, and probably developing in a way where they're thinking about, well, you know, we're just over halfway through the life cycle of this current gen of console. So there'll be a PlayStation 6, etc., being started to be talked about in, you know, a couple of years. So we'll just kind of have this ready to be upgraded for the next generation of, really thinking about it as like the last game they made, the last GTA they made spanned, 3 generations?
Yeah.
So like just having the infrastructure there to be like, this can grow as it needs to.
I would definitely not be surprised to see it basically be treated as two separate things that are coming out at the same time of like, here's GTA 6, that's the single player thing. It's got a story, it's got a blah, blah, blah. And then we use that world for online, which I, again, would not be surprised if that is a free-to-play model that, like Warzone or whatever, that comes with it.
Yeah.
But also people buy GTA 5. It's still always in the top 10 of maybe it is attached to that still. But either way, it'll probably be a big game.
When was that leak? It was
2022, like.
Yeah, okay. Year and a bit ago.
I feel like August or something of last year, or maybe September. Yeah.
And bits of it looked, you know, pretty far-ish along. And, you know, it was a little while ago now, and they'd have a big team working on it. So, yeah, it could be an announcement where it's out before too long. But yeah.
Surely, like, they've been working on it for years and years and years.
I wonder, because I feel like, did 5 come out, like, summer in America? Like, it feels like they almost treat it like a movie where, like, the big films come out in summer.
It was October, I think.
Was it really?
2013.
Okay. Yeah. So, completely not what I said at all. That's good. That's cool. That's good to know.
Autumn or fall, as they say.
It might have been September for 5, and then the online wasn't ready till October. Or
Right.
That rings a bell.
I saw a thing on Twitter of, like, those, you know, the marketing for it was so huge, and you had those like high rises in LA that had the ads for it, like the three big towers that are all next to each other that had all the three characters on them. And it was someone being like, God, I can't wait to see this same building with the art for GTA 6. I love that it's just the idea that that building is just GTA building. That it's just, they've got it bookmarked, they've got it ready to go. It's not ever allowed to have any other ads on it.
I'm but excited. For you to buy GTA 6 in particular, Tommy, because I know that about a month after you buy GTA 6, GTA 7 will come out.
Oh, here we go.
Because
here he is.
You recently bought a Steam Deck,
which
triggered the announcement of the Steam Deck OLED.
Mm. Yep, bought a, what's my track record? Bought a, like went and bought a Game Boy Micro and a flash cart because I was like, they're never putting these damn Game Boy Advance games up on the Switch online, and then like a week later they came out.
Tommy bought a Game Boy Micro. I actually have a Game Boy 8.5 inch. Get
okay.
it?
Yeah.
It's a penis joke.
Yeah.
It's just a cool penis joke.
Tommy doesn't get it because he has such a large penis, he's never even come across the concept of a micro.
Yeah.
And he refuses to acknowledge it.
Thanks, man. So,
I'm sorry, because I started thinking about penises after you said you bought a Game Boy Micro, and then what came out?
All the GBA games.
Oh,
on the online. Yeah. Part of why I did that was I was like, they just had taken so long with it, and I just thought, this is never going to happen, and I want to play some of these old games, so I'll just get a thing, and now they're all up there. I guess I should just like start buying like a Switch every week to just try and get this Switch 2 announcement.
Oh, that'd be pretty crazy to buy like 6% more Switches than we already do.
But yeah, Steam Deck OLED.
Yeah.
They've said that they were inspired to do this by the Switch OLED.
Okay. I don't see the connection.
It's a tad lighter. The fan is a little softer. It's got a bit better battery life. I think they've said like 50% better battery life.
Because the screen is thinner.
Yep.
The they could fit a larger capacity battery in there.
Right.
As well as like the new internal stuff means that they don't need as much power draw for the screen, I think. And
how are you finding the battery life on the current one?
It's pretty bad.
Right.
It really does turn it into something that, you know, you probably wouldn't, and also just the size of it, you probably wouldn't bother with it on a plane. Well, I personally wouldn't.
Right.
Because it depends pretty heavily on like what you're playing, right? Because the power draw is really dependent on like the comparisons I've seen for this OLED use like Cyberpunk.
Right.
As yep.
a baseline, which gets about an hour and a half or so on a Steam Deck normal.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the OLED is another hour on top of that. Roughly,
okay. Yeah, so it does make it a bit more. I mean, if you're someone who is just playing indies on it because you don't have access to them somewhere else, I'm sure you get better life out of it. But
your Humble Bundle games and stuff. Yeah.
If I'm going somewhere and there's an indie out, then I'm probably going to end up playing it on the Switch because I'll get the better battery life and, you know, it's all that same stuff is on there.
So
something like a, you know, a AAA release that will run well on the Steam Deck, that's probably more what you're wanting to use it for if you've got both, is something that you can't get on the Switch. And, even just like sitting and playing something in bed, I'll be like pretty quickly like, oh, God damn it, it needs to be charged already. You know, I'm just getting going.
Yeah.
You know, in the case of a game we'll talk about in a bit, Like a Dragon, Gaiden, the man who erased his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
I'm sorry, you've mentioned five games there, surely.
Like, that's half a cutscene. Yeah. This damn thing's out of battery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hearing that... And also, too, like, you own a Switch OLED, Adam.
Oh,
like,
they
that,
look fucking awesome. They look awesome.
So good. So anytime I see anything OLED now, I'm like... I'm so tempted. I'm so in because it really does just make everything pop a bit more. It just makes everything look so much better.
Yeah.
Even if you have to scale the performance down a little bit on the deck to get it running, like the boost of having that nice screen. I think like, yeah, if you're yet to go in, and they have said that there will be a deck 2 at some point, but they're not going to do it until the technology is like really ready to make a significant leap. They're not going to do something that's just like mildly iterative. They are going to hold out until they can really just have a bit of a powerhouse.
Well, and it seems like this because I've seen people talk about something to do with like the variable refresh rate stuff on there, and like it doesn't have that even though it's upgraded to 90 hertz now on this screen. Mm-hmm. But because the type of signal that the screen uses, I'm going to guess at words here. Mm-hmm. I think signal is one.
Okay.
It's the same manufacturer, most likely, as who made the Switch OLED screens. Right. And that uses a type of connector or whatever that doesn't allow for that. But they can make this because of the cost now works, because so many were manufactured for smaller things like phones are now OLED.
Yeah.
The Switch has an OLED thing. So this might even be the same or extremely similar screen as the Switch OLED.
Even just that thing of, it's such a small thing with the Switch OLED, but the fact that the screen itself uses up a bit more of the real estate. It's got like less of that black border around it. It just goes right up to the edge. Just even that makes it look so much more like high tech and really makes things pop off the screen.
People have that thing. I've never found the bezel thing. I've never noticed it, but people talk about it often going like, fuck, I hate bezels.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The screen.
I don't really notice it when I'm looking at it, but when you play something on the equivalent and you see it goes all the way up to the edge and then you go back, I notice it then. Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's like mounting a little mount board on your picture. Little frame.
It really...
It's classy.
The difference is really noticeable too, where like, you know, not to be a fucking mantis shrimp about it, but I like seeing more colors and that you get crisper, more vibrant, contrasty colors on an OLED screen.
The darks especially, the bit where... Right. I mean, that was why Metroid Dread ended up being a good showcase for the Switch OLED, was because a lot of it was very dark, and just seeing that like...
Not that seeing actual, the muddiness of like a shittier
screen.
Like
the pixels actually turn off, so you get like pure black instead of the screen showing you the color black, which is...
You get to see your fucking reflection staring down at that screen with
your
big ass chin.
Samus's booty.
Oh, the void's looking at me as well.
It's like it's a black mirror.
We're both staring at each other, me and my friend, the abyss.
Oh, God, I stared into the void and the void's doing crowd work at me. No.
Yes, they do come in men's sizes.
It looks like a nice little thing if you don't already have one. If you do, and also it means that there's kind of a price cut across the board in terms of like how much storage space you're getting on each model. It's kind of bumped up,
right? Yep. I think the key factor, though, and you mentioned this, Tommy, when I sent you the news story mockingly.
The timing of this was me messaging you about the new Like a Dragon,
yes,
and saying that I got it on the deck, and I'm like, it's kind of the first sort of AAA thing that's come out since I got one that has run well enough on the deck to be like, okay, I'm going to get this on Steam instead of PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you know, I'm playing in bed. It's fucking pretty awesome, you know, because you do spend a lot of that game just like watching a cutscene. So it's just like laying down in bed, watching a little movie. Not too bad.
You don't have to sell me on the idea. Absolutely.
Once again, you're laying in bed.
Oh, I'm in.
And I'd messaged you at like midnight going, man, this rules on the deck. This is so good. And then I woke up the next morning and the OLED had been announced overnight, and I had a message from Ben going, I bet it'd look even better on this. You son of a bitch.
But as you rightly point out, I agree with this take. The red detailing looks shit.
Well, I thought that was the default model, but it's like a special edition of...
Oh, right.
I don't know. I thought it all... Yeah.
I haven't even seen that one. The normal one I think does have... like slightly blacker features, like the sticks and stuff are a bit gray on the normal Steam Deck and then a slightly darker tone on.
Okay.
But whatever it is, like, it's not something that I think you need to rush out and I mean, I'm talking to, like, I fucking, during the pandemic, look, was standing in line waiting for a fucking Switch OLED like I was waiting for bread.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't, it's... They're all silly.
Look, all I will say...
they're also not being sold in Australia still.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, properly, right.
So look, if you live in Melbourne and you might be interested in buying a previous gen Steam Deck off me...
Ring, ring.
Let me know. Let me know. We can talk. We can talk.
Yeah, okay.
If I could offload my if I could offload my current one easily enough.
Right.
And right just now, do the 20 bucks. That sounds easy to me.
That's... I mean, you're right. It is easy.
Yeah.
But...
is it... Is it good, like, cost benefit analysis there?
All right, I mean, you're twisting my arm.
$30.
Nah,
I mean, that's
25. You took too long.
That's still a pretty huge leap up percentage wise from 20.
$35.
Fuck.
We 20, can do this for quite 20. Some time.
Yeah.
Can we go
I
back
think
down?
I could. I mean, you guys are
just. Give me it or I'll bash you.
You
How
guys are
that?
Just falling over yourselves here. I can see myself getting you up to 800 by the end of the hour.
I got to talk to the bank. I don't know if I can approve
All right.
this. Yeah.
Ring, ring. Hello, bank here. You're approved.
Yeah, it's cool though, you know.
Yeah, good on him.
No, I can't afford one because I just dropped my phone down some stairs and had to buy one again immediately.
Yeah, did you have it in a case?
Yeah. It wasn't just the screen. The whole phone broke, basically.
And damn.
Like, it's bent in half.
I've never seen that happen to
Me
during
neither.
A phone fall, either.
I probably shouldn't have got the... Well, I got the next one up. I had a Pixel 6a, and it was great, apart from its breakability.
Yeah.
I got a Pixel 7a as a replacement, which is very cheap. It's like $700.
But you've
bucks.
Only... That this Pixel, you've only just recently... Got that and left the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah.
So it really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. I've also never seen a phone just snap in half.
No.
Yeah.
So.
What stairs?
A pub.
A pub. Oh, I see.
Going down out of the bar into the beer garden.
Yeah, okay.
And they were concrete stairs.
Fully.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was, yeah. And I was I'd come out of the toilet and I was like going a little like, what did I miss? Slip?
What did I miss? What's happened while I...
yeah, while I was pissing.
What's happened in Gaza while I was in there? Better check in.
Yeah. Well, you might have missed this news then that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has been rated by ratings boards.
I did miss somewhere. This news.
Well, you couldn't see it through... yeah. Final Fantasy VII has been... let me just turn my phone 90 degrees to read the rest. I just thought there was a funny thing in it where it's been rated, you know, M or whatever, and yep. Some of it is for sexual references.
Hell
one
yeah.
of the examples they
references.
Gave is that someone in the game refers to their bodacious beach bod.
Mm.
Oh.
Which I thought was just funny phrasing from the ratings board.
Yeah, it's really, this has sent people into a frenzy about what this means for the Bazumba content of the game.
I mean, the first one of the remake,
pretty
heavy on the Bazumbas.
You're not
talking small Bazumbas.
No,
you get
micros.
Tifa in a room, ain't no one talking about small Bazumbas.
No Game Boy Micros.
I think also the fact that the ratings board classified it a double D. That's not even on their scale.
Yeah, that's not part of the classification.
Isn't it like T for teen, M for mature?
Yeah.
Well, you have to break it down granularly. So then you have to like say how many hubba hubbas are in it.
Right.
Okay.
How many awoogas out of 10? Because kids can only handle so many awoogas.
This gets 8 howling wolves.
Yeah.
I saw another like little quote about the game where the open world. Because we've seen some footage of this game that we were all a bit like. Confused how it was going to translate the world of Final Fantasy VII, the original, because it's like it's not a full globe, but it's like, well, it's a big world and there's continents.
Yep.
And you move about it in a much more rapid way because the scale is off.
You're going to define small areas in a larger overworld.
But someone involved in the game described the open world size and scope as comparable to like Horizon or The Witcher 3.
Okay.
So that's pretty big.
And that's just the size of the Bazumbas.
Whoa!
Yeah.
We got to rate this episode.
2 out of 10. I'm excited for that game, not because of this, but like it's just cool seeing that come closer and closer to release, which I will be as well.
Yeah.
Nice. But there were other details about like there's been some more footage come out too. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like it's long and massive, which again was a problem for the ratings board.
Yeah, and there's so many from what we understand this game to be covering. There's so many.
It's not covering particularly much, if what I've heard is true.
I can't help.
Adam, please. Anyway, this game is coming soon.
Anyway, sorry. What were you saying? Bounce back.
The cup.
Get some recoil.
The cups overfloweth.
Yeah.
With content. Mm.
It might be the best game of the year.
Mate.
What?
Mate. This is a children's show.
It's coming out all across the world. It's coming out here in like Brazil, in Nepal.
Yeah. We've seen a shot of Cloud getting around on a little scooter. Mm. Personally, I'm hoping for a bit of a motorboat in the game.
Oh, God. It's a bit of fun.
Oh. Sex, it's
just,
penis.
It's just locker room talk.
Yeah. The acceptable version is when it's only trying to find puns and having no actual interest in the sexual nature of it. It's purely wordplay.
We're all completely asexual. That's what makes this okay.
Right.
So
anyway, Final Fantasy 7 Inches, it's coming out next year.
Yeah.
It's a really good part of the game. There are a lot of big set pieces. There are a lot of interesting locations that previously we've just seen as like matte paintings, essentially. So
the last one looked
and
fantastic.
Expanded upon, it seems like.
Yes.
Yeah.
To incorporate like the way they're doing that transition from segments of a world and then a nothing in between.
Yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
by just expanding on it and filling in those empty stretches with stuff to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the last one looked fantastic. There was so much detail in the environments, even in places that you would only be in for like a very brief period of time in the game. It really felt like it was pushing the hardware. So this is exciting because this feels like one of those ones that could be a game that feels like the one of the first like truly next or current gen games on this console.
Can I tell you'd be able to tell in the video, I don't know if not, but I think I started blushing during while we were doing it. It made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but well, you are like a Victorian debutante.
Yeah.
Oh dude, bodacious bitch ankles I could handle, but because what's that town they go to? The sort of holiday town, and Hojo's there lying on the beach.
Magaluf?
I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's good.
It's the British. It's the British, like, it's you know, Spanish, schoolies town. Yeah,
right, yeah. Like an Ibiza type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it called? Cocoa Beach or something?
There's some beach they go to. And I assume that, I'm just looking forward to that game. It's cool to have next year be so insight to that we've moved on to thinking about that.
Because that's what, March?
February, Feb? No, I think. End of Feb.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, it's really because it's that and, start of the year. And I think like a couple weeks before that, you have Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth.
Oh, yeah.
Which, Persona 3 remake as well.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth.
Yes.
So excited that I've decided to spend some of my week playing a little game that's a bridge between Infinite Wealth and Like a Dragon itself.
Yeah.
And that game is called...
Let me put the ad break here.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you once again by our fine friends over at Manscaped.
Now, I believe it is the time of year when you're going to get a few deals.
Brother.
They start making sales around Black Friday.
That's right.
They sure do.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Approximately between Black Friday and Cyber Monday, there's deals aplenty.
Easter Sunday comes along.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same holiday, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I go into a cave for 3 days, shave all my pubes off, and come out in heaven.
Now that you can do at the moment,
I think,
right? Because Manscaped make things for doing exactly that.
Yes.
Include, oh man, they got a bunch of stuff.
Oh, Manscaped.
Manscaped. Manscaped make things for scaping up your body hair.
Yeah.
They have a new item, the Lawnmower 5.0.
Yeah.
I was wondering what they were going to do after the 4, and the answer is, guess what? The 5.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
They're following the PlayStation numbering model. That's how I think
they're
of,
finally caught up. They have to wait a few years now.
It's got like replaceable heads where you can put on a different type of shaver for more fine, close
precision
shaving sort of thing. Rub it along your legs if you're a swimmer wanting to get rid of your leg hair.
Yeah.
You don't need a reason. Tis
you don't
the season.
Need to be a swimmer.
I got to be ready for Cyber Monday. Get into my hacker suit.
Yeah.
Just you don't want to into an ice bath so that I don't overheat while I'm getting all those deals, which you can get from Manscaped.
Oh, yes.
If you use the code FILTHY as well, you get
20% off of free shipping.
Hell yeah.
As
that's
well.
One like fifth now. And five free. Fifths.
It's yeah. Cyber Monday every day if you use the code FILTHY to get yourself free shipping. Have a look at what Manscaped got. They've got a ton of really useful products for all different parts of your
beard hedges, hair. Ear and nose hair trimmers.
I use them all.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. And I endorse them heartily. And you know what? Using that code helps us out.
Yeah.
It does. And it helps you out. Everybody wins. It's one of those rare situations where there's no catch.
Yeah.
Use code FILTHY at checkout, 20% off and free shipping. But be careful because you're on the internet. You don't want people to not be using a VPN.
Yeah.
If you're on the internet.
That's the last thing I want.
It's
people to not use a VPN.
That's why we recommend and are sponsored by NordVPN.
Yes.
They are a... Also, they exist in a world with a Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
And if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy, you also get our filthy deal, which is, I believe, chucking 4 months onto a 2-year subscription.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now, I can't do maths, but that's about 20%.
You know what? I also can't verify whether that's been a joke amount or...
Near enough's good enough.
Yeah. 100% is a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
VPNs are extremely useful for using your real location and hiding that with a VPN location.
That's right.
Yeah. And it gives you access to different content from different parts of the world. Check your terms of services to see that you're not going to get your account deleted.
Yeah.
But if you're crafty, you live in France.
That's it. And you can watch Netflix.fr.
Ooh.
And watch their hit show, Emily Down the Street.
Emily the tourist.
Emily.
Get Emily out of here.
Emily the disgusting, annoying American tourist who should fuck off and
Emily,
leave us alone.
Learn French if you're going to come here.
Have a look at nordvpn.com/filthy and you can figure out which plan works for you.
Watch plan.
Yeah.
Like a dragon, Gaiden, the man who erased his name.
Yes. Starring Kiryu.
But he's not Kiryu.
Yeah.
He's wearing glasses.
He's wearing glasses.
Oh,
and a big
suit. He fully like Clark Kenting it for the, is that how he erased his name?
A running thing of the game is that he's faked his own death. Everyone knows who he is immediately because the only disguise he has is wearing glasses. And it's just people constantly going, "You're that guy," and him going, "No, I'm not." And then he's like, you get into a fight and they're like, "Well, the only person on earth we've ever seen with that fighting style is you, so it's you." Yeah, no, it's not me. It's not me at all.
It's also like, the setup. I've only played literally the first maybe hour and a half, which is approximately 8 minutes of gameplay and mostly cinematics.
Yep.
But even like the story is like, he's like... gone into not witness protection, but like, you know, he's done a deal to like move on from this thing and
we'll protect these people, but you have to kind of work for us in secret.
Because he was like running an orphanage or something by the end of his stretch.
And it's to protect, it's to protect that. And he's like, but I thought I was getting away from being like a Yakuza enforcer. And they were like, actually, no, you're going to keep doing all of that stuff for us.
Yeah.
So nothing's changed. It's still just a Yakuza game.
Right.
Yeah. I love these games. I get very frustrated in games where you fire them up and you spend so long just watching cutscenes, but knowing that this is like what this series does and that the cutscenes are just so enjoyable, they're so like dramatic, like it's so high drama of like people being double crossed and all that kind of stuff that definitely helps to go into knowing like, all right, the first couple of hours, which again is why it's been good to have in hand. I'll just sit in bed and treat it like a book, like because it really is just sitting there, and it takes ages once again to get you into what you're actually doing, which I think I'm just up to now. But it's cool, you know, even just the little thing of the Like a Dragon before this was a few years ago now, so just being back in that same town and walking around and. Just it's basically this exists. It's kind of hard to recommend it if you haven't played any of the other ones because this purely does exist as a bridge between everything in the series that came before the last main one.
Yep.
So this character who's been a mainstay is in the next one alongside the character that got introduced in the previous one, and it's catching you up on where he's at. And even though I don't have any attachment to him from those other games, I'm still just really enjoying this as a little Yeah, it's a little entree. It's a cool idea. It's like, a, you know, the other ones are always very long. This one has had, you know, a little bit of criticism from series diehards for being a bit shorter, but I'm happy to just like knock it out and see a little story scratch the itch.
How dare they put out a shorter Yakuza game as one of the three Yakuza games they're putting out within the space of 12 months.
It's because the next one is all set in a different location. It's in Hawaii, so it's kind of nice to dip back into this other city and feel like I'm not burning myself out on it, because after this one, you know, they're moving away from it.
Yep.
It's cool. It's a really interesting idea that, again, I would say I would definitely recommend Like a Dragon. It's an all-timer for me. It's so good. It's such a great RPG. Definitely recommend playing that one. I think it's also such a great jumping off point for the series because it is all, it's like a clean sort of reset.
Infinite Wealth will be following on directly from that.
It's the same guy, and it's his first bit. Yeah, it really is all new characters in Like a Dragon that, yeah, at least the main guy is carrying on for Infinite Wealth. So I'd say, like, start there. If you like that, use this as a little in-between bridge thing. But, yeah, I don't really have any attachment to this guy who is now going to be a pretty big part of Infinite Wealth, I think. So I appreciate the thing of just, rather than me feeling like I should go back and play one of the old ones and, you know, that be a 100-hour thing. I like this little, you know, here's how he ends up in Hawaii. It's cool.
Is that, does it work as a bit of a recap of, like, giving you a general idea of here's who Kiryu is?
A little bit.
Kind of. So I've played 0 and 6. Those are the two that I've played, like, you know, like completely. I've dipped in on the other ones because I think they're all on Game Pass?
I think so. Is this one as well?
It is, yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. He's I think a little bit more of not a shallow character, but he's much more tropey than it's Ichiban, right?
Ichiban, yeah.
Ichiban in which you've been saying Like a Dragon, and I need the people to know that I know that the series is actually called Like a Dragon in Japan.
Mm. Super Mario Brothers 2 was actually called Like a Dragon.
But it's like we've talked about this. It's the Resident Evil Biohazard thing.
Absolutely.
Like, it's all like the company is called Like a Dragon, the development company.
Yeah, so they were always called Like a Dragon in Japan. They were called Yakuza in the West. And then the last main one that came out was called Yakuza Like a Dragon here.
Yes.
And then now going forward, they're all just being called Like a Dragon in the West.
Right.
Which is,
because it was so, I assume because it was such a big crossover hit, right? It was now people.
It's finally people get it. I mean, look, I appreciate the like keeping it the same thing, the like being true to the origins of it. But when you've done like 7 of them with one title, annoyingly, I do think just keep the because it is so confusing to talk about.
I think there was something about how they actually didn't want it to be named Yakuza because of the Yakuza as well.
Yeah,
At some point, they were like, we're glad to move away from it because we're no longer comfortable with it being.
And that's why they didn't call it that in Japan, right?
Yeah.
I've played a little bit of 0, so I haven't gone near the others, but in the ones I've played, and as far as I'm aware, this is the case for the entire series, you're always an ex-Yakuza. It's like, I remember knowing about these games before.
I think you're actively in it in 0, aren't you? I don't
remember. You're in it at the beginning because it's an origin story. I think you're in it at the beginning and then you get kicked out.
Yeah, you. Right. Yeah.
The thread of all
happens
of them,
in most of them at some point.
Same with the, you know, same with when they set up Ichiban in Like a Dragon. He starts out in it and then he like, I think he goes to prison and then when he comes out, he's been abandoned by the fam. So I remember like knowing about the series before I ever played one, being like, oh, that sounds cool. You like go around as a Yakuza, but you're actually like, you are one of the dudes, but you're like, you're kind of out and then you're like fighting against them.
Yes.
So it's even then it's like a weird name because it's like you're not in the Yakuza.
I think it's one of those hangovers as well where it's just like whatever publishing company was in the West who like was like, okay, well this is called Yakuza and Mark Hamill's in it
for the first
one on the PS2.
Sure.
Like they never chose that name, I think.
Right. Yeah. That makes
sense. They're very much, It's still to me an intimidating series, even though 7 is a reset.
A lot of people who have either just heard about it, or have like played one on Game Pass. It seems from the outside more complicated than it is. You know, it is a series of games, numbered games They are in chronological order, except for there's a prequel and then there's a weird crossover name change. But they're just, you know, and they've, it's sort of like the God of War games. They were like combat heavy beat 'em ups with like melodramatic stories. Mm. And then at some point they were kind of given not like a makeover, but like there was a soft reboot that introduced them again in a more prestigious game,
and
maybe.
They have done them for ages, and then at a certain point they went, what if we completely change the gameplay style?
Right.
I mean, hats off to them for that. And it not be like a side thing. It's like, this is the numbered entry. This is the next one. It's a completely different style of game. And this is the style of game that we make now, other than when we do weird little side stories and remakes of old ones that are set in feudal Japan.
Yeah. So again, Nox, it's perfectly clear.
And that's the thing. I understand where all of them are on that like timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
But more just like, I
you have the thing where if you're going to go in, you got to go in from the beginning and do all of it before you can.
Because, you know, there's going to be, and now that Kiryu's back especially.
I think there's a name for that thing.
Little things in there. Well, a doctor has to tell me it first. But like there'll be references to older ones that won't really matter. And I've seen everyone suggest, like, if you're going to play them, don't worry about that because you will get burnt out on it and you
that's
won't.
That's it. And they're all very long. And a lot of them you are, you know, you could watch a recap video because they're so cutscene heavy. Even Infinite Wealth seems like it'll be, it's still Ichiban again, but he's in Hawaii. He's well out of the Yakuza by this point. And apparently it's him trying to track down his mother. So it seems like even within they're trying to make them slightly more episodic, even though they are bringing back these other characters. Like, they're trying to make the story out. A bit of like a soft reset again.
And I think weirdly, like, for how many games there are, they have, like, there's a zero one that gives you the basis for a couple of the main characters. It's more recent, so it's I think easier to just like get into and enjoy.
I played some of that one. That was the one that I put the most.
That's the only other one I've ever played a bit of. Yeah, and I was it's funny playing something that is a prequel that has come long after all the other stuff where you're like, oh, I'm learning about this guy. And then you realize fans of the series would be having this thing of like, wow, this is so cool going back to when he's a little kid.
That's where the,
it totally does work as like a
setup.
They're
in Japan?
Damn. I do prefer the like Dragon Quest inspired gameplay style. And yeah, I'm glad about that direction. A lot of longtime fans not so glad about that.
So this one,
this one's
fun.
This one's great. The combat is really fun. We played a little bit of the demo at PAX where you've got your agent abilities, you've got your little spider web thing, you've got your drones. I just love the presentation of them. Again, like the menu systems has never changed. It's the same like bits of sound effects that are in all the menus, and in the overworld when you're walking around, you hear a little, you'll have your little map that's got like a, you know, there's a little arrow saying your objective's here. It's off the edge of the map, keep walking. And then when it shows up on a, when it actually shows up on the map as a point in your mini map, there's this like sound effect that's like a, kind of like a wire getting really taut all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's like a
twing.
All that stuff is just.
Which I think that also applied to the Judgment games, which I think that they're.
Right.
It would have been all the same stuff filtered through,
Actually, there's a lot of crossover with the Gaiden game and the Judgment ones, because in that you're a detective, so you have your gadgets, you're using bits and bobs, and drones is part of it as well. A lot of observational stuff. And like,
I mean, a thing I've read that some people are not too hot on is that this is retreading a lot of stuff. It's not doing anything too unique, which their last few ones really have done.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think for what this is and for what this is being kind of put out as, it doesn't really matter.
It's positioned to bridge the gap. It's not a numbered sequel. It's literally like,
and it's fun to be doing the real-time combat when I know that the next one is going to be a complete departure from that.
It's half and half, right, the next one, I think.
Well, I believe so I don't quite know how this is going to work. It's turn-based, but he is
Kiryu
when he's in your party in like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, he will be in real time.
Right. Well, guess what, other team? I'm just not going to take a turn.
Yeah.
Then you don't get a turn, and he beats the shit out of you.
I don't quite know how that's going to work. I wonder if it's maybe like a, you know, like the, I mean, a few RPGs have done this, but the like Mario and Luigi RPG games where it's like you have to hit a button at the right time. Oh, sure, kind of thing. Sure. Could be something like that. But yeah. But yeah, it's fun, and I'm just in the point where it's sort of let me walk around. I'm going into an arcade and I'm playing Sonic the Fighters. Is just in there.
Hell yeah. Daytona 2 is in this, and it's the first time it's been officially released outside of like in the arcade in the 90s. I saw people being very excited about
that. Sick that Ikasiga put this out there, just like, yeah, you go. Yeah. Like the names of the like little provinces are like made up, even though they, like, it's Sotenbori instead of Dotenbori Osaka. And like, you know, brand names will be a bit different, but then you go into an arcade and you're just playing literal Daytona.
Yeah, yeah,
cool. And that's there's a bit of that in this. I'm more excited for the mini game stuff in Infinite Wealth because the Yakuza Like a Dragon, or Like a Dragon Yakuza. The mini games in that were fucking insane. The Mario Kart stuff, karting, the candy company that you, it's like a stock market mini, like it was a, it's that a whole separate game.
That I ignored and then found out that you get a great character for your party if you can do that.
And the game, that game is fun to play. Like I probably spent 10 hours playing that mini game.
My friend Gibby is currently playing it, and I said, man, hot tip, do when you get up to it, do the little micromanaging business thing because you get a great party member. And he's like, brother, I love a spreadsheet. You didn't have to tell me that I should engage with this. I was always going to do it. And that, people who get really into these sink like 400 hours into them, like doing all the side stuff. I don't know if we ever talked about this, but they released a trailer like maybe a week or two ago that for Infinite Wealth and showed off that it's going to have this basically like an Animal Crossing mode in it where you've got like a little island just off the coast that you can set up and build a house and get people to move to, which is like, awesome. That's exactly what they should be doing in these games, just going for the silliness of it. But it's...
Gaiden, a little bit less silly.
A little bit less silly, but I'd recommend it. Like I said, I wouldn't recommend it in isolation. Definitely, this is a good opportunity to remind people to get around Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Yes.
It's on Game Pass. Give that a go before the second one comes out because it's a really, really good game. But
I don't know if it sounds like my thing, because people rehashing old ideas, going back to things they've done a bunch of times before, a little bit silly for my tastes. I've been spending my time running around Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 shooting with people who have Nicki Minaj skins.
Okay.
Wow.
Nothing like it.
Wow.
Call of Duty 20 Modern Warfare 3 is it, and that's the actual number.
Fuck. And it's Call of Duty 20 Modern Warfare 3 brackets Modern Warfare 3 2.
2023. Which contains maps from Modern Warfare 2 from 2009.
Right.
Okay.
I have a headache. I thought getting into the weeds of the naming of the Yakuza games was a nightmare.
This is the second Modern Warfare 3 that they've put out that started life as DLC for Modern Warfare 2 from 2022. But
they quickly pivoted.
And not even. They just like
repackaged.
Put it out as a full price thing, even though it is. So what you're getting with this one is remastered maps from Modern Warfare 2 from 2009. Mm-hmm. That's the multiplayer mode.
Right.
You've got the standard, deathmatch and all those different types are in there. You've got a single player campaign that's the worst one they've made yet, probably.
Right.
It's up there.
This got like a 4 out of 10 on IGN,
Here's the thing. and there's a zombies mode, which I'll say I haven't touched yet because zombies has never been my thing.
This feels like how Scream 5 was just called Scream.
Yeah.
But then the next one was Scream 6.
To me, it's
like, sorry, you've made your choice here.
Yeah. It's not super confusing to me for whatever reason, but
because you've engaged with all of them and the new one is out
because I have a Wikipedia like knowledge of pointless things.
And so zombies mode is like horde mode. It's wave defense-y sort of thing?
Sort of. Not really anymore, though. It's like changed up and it's... I can't speak to the one in this one, but it got more and more construction-focused and but I don't know. It's never been my thing.
Fortnite style. Like,
it's a zombie building a fucking
house. Dude, you guys need to learn about video games. Construction, big deal these days.
Yeah, okay.
Teach the kids to build. We're going to need it. Rebuilding will be the key.
Yes.
I bought tickets to see Kevin McLeod live the other day. Speaking of construction.
Oh, well, you get it.
I'm going to... If they do a Q&A in the audience, I'm going to ask what he thinks about Fortnite. Now, obviously, as a fan of architecture, assume you're sinking hours and hours into Fortnite.
Yeah.
And now, Mike, and then I just had a really specific question about a skin in Fortnite.
So I won't talk about the zombies mode, but I don't think that's been super well received by people who like zombies. But campaign first.
They're getting a raw deal here.
Yeah, those zombie fans.
There's no other options for them either. Mm. People don't make zombie media anymore other than the 16 Walking Deads that they've concurrently got going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Norman Reedus is in every single one.
Dude, I can't get enough of the Reed.
By the way, The Last of Us TV show won Best Adaptation at the Golden Joystick Awards.
Oh!
What an upset.
Yeah.
Who could have guessed?
Well, I mean, I was pulling for...
Oh, fuck.
Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
The Stan original.
So I think the poor reception to this campaign is people catching up to how I've felt about the campaigns in the Call of Duty games for quite some time now. Because I was surprised playing through it after how much of a negative reception it got in that week-long window where it was out if you ordered the pre-early whatever. Mm-hmm. You can still get pregnant from pre-access.
Thank you.
If you... I didn't hate it any more than like Vanguard or Black Ops 3,
right,
or several of the World War 2, the other ones that have already been bad for ages.
Right.
The big difference between this one and those is that it is a bit shorter.
Okay.
But they're all quite short.
Sure.
Anyway.
Nothing wrong with being a bit short.
Well, I've got 8.5 hours of the Call of Duty in my pants.
We did hours of this, it felt like.
There has to be. What if it was called Call of Booby?
There has to be a moratorium on this kind of stuff.
It's a soft reboot. It's this episode, brackets 2023.
It is a bit shorter. It still has just as stupid and fucking poorly written, like actually insanely badly written, childish level of story as Modern Warfare 2 last year did. Mm-hmm. So it's not worse than that one on that front.
Right.
The major change is that some of the missions are, they call them open combat missions, which just kind of means that they've got a Warzone style map.
Okay.
Smaller than that, but like a sort of open thing with like three objectives in it, and you're going through and like collecting armor plates and different types of weapons and looting and stuff like that.
Sure.
Which was fine. I don't know. It's like, it's not actually, to me, that much worse than
the more linear,
poorly designed linear missions that they've had in plenty of the others.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't hate that about it, to be honest, but like it does suck. But it's not like I didn't notice it being significantly worse step down than a lot of, like, I didn't like the one from last year either, and that was like buggier than this one. It had some bullshit kind of open style missions already that sucked, and I was surprised by that. I thought this one was about at par with what they've been doing. It's clearly meant to be a continuation on a DLC sort of level of the story from 2, because it doesn't end. The 3 from the Xbox 360 back in the day were a trilogy set, and this requires a 4 to finish the story, or a fucking Warzone season, or however they're going to do it.
Right.
But
Gatorade tie-in or something.
It is weird that they have... progression in this story that is from like Warzone cutscenes and whatever, like seasonal cutscenes over the year, that like brings back to life a character who seemed dead at the end of the story of the second one, but the explanation is like, yeah, I faked it. I don't know. I put
anime
glasses
style
on and I went
love
to
it.
Yeah.
And so this like story content is not in this game that you bought. It's in
the previous game, which this installs on the PS5 at least as essentially DLC 4.
Right.
Like you are launching two games at once in a weird way that like leads to it's really it's not a good experience swapping between all of the games.
It seems like it'd be extremely resource intensive as well.
If you install everything, it's like 250 gigabytes on your hard drive. It's not a small number.
Mamacita. On PC?
You can choose what you have and don't have installed, because like the launcher, they want it to be an all-encompassing,
right,
just a app called Call of Duty.
One button that just everything is.
And so that you can buy things in the battle passes and whatever that will carry over to the next one so that you're more incentivized to spend money so that you're not.
Yes, okay.
At some point, oh, I don't want to lose my fucking Groot skin.
Yeah.
Well, look, I will say good on them for that because that is the thing that really fucks people off. It's
conceptually,
like, oh, I've invested in this.
Right.
And then now there's a new thing that none of that carries over. So saying to an audience that, like, hey, don't worry, you pay for this. You are going to have, you own it. You are going to, it's not like a thing, you know, people buy a film on iTunes and then it's like, no, we lost the license. You just don't have it now. It's like, but I spent $30 on it.
I agree with that. It's just the way that it's implemented is really clunky.
And there's like a distinction between like, there is something to be said for being like, here's this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's been released. You can buy it on physical media. You can whatever, however you want to buy it.
Checking all my boxes so far.
It's come out. And if you want to engage with that experience, it's all there. And it's like buying a book. You get the whole story.
To be fair, that is still this.
But then
you
I
can
think,
buy a disc that has just the Modern Warfare 3 content on it.
But there's a level of like, so even if you do that and you launch it, there's a level of, and this is what all of them do, the fear of missing out thing of like, but what if you engage with this? What if you got this? Your friends have got this
one. It's showing you stuff on the home screen. And
that is why it is there, for sure.
You also do get into, this is kind of a separate thing too, but the thing of like buying the disc and you put the disc in and it's like, yeah, we need to download 200 gigs now. It's like, what the fuck was on this disc?
It's more, like the philosophy of it, of like a game exists with a beginning, middle and end, like any other, you know, experience. Whereas, this ongoing launcher thing of like, you've got to always be engaged because, hey, you might get a little bonus thing for logging in today.
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff is very like psychologically kind of manipulative.
Totally. And heaps of things have been doing it more and more for the past 10 years. And this is effectively a live service series now.
Yeah.
And they're moving more to the Destiny model of large, expensive expansion packs that will give you more content each year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I thought it was clunky and shit in that as well. Because like, but this isn't deleting old but anyway.
These
sort of
feel
a
little
thing.
Less dodgy to me because at this point this series just really does seem to exist in its own little ecosystem.
And they're very clear with what you're getting in this new one.
Yeah.
Like they're not tricking you like just the under delivering is like year to year, it doesn't always live up to the same expectations.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also three different teams working. And so they only had like just over a year to make this one.
Right.
That was originally, and they said it ages ago, this will be the first year where they skip it. And it's just a DLC for Modern Warfare 2, which I think they could have charged pretty high-ish prices for anyway.
Right.
You can't buy these things piecemeal, I think is the idea, so it could be cheaper. But so you've got the campaign thing. It sucks in the way that they often do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hate it as much as other... I didn't hate it more than the others in a way that other people seem to have, but I also didn't like the others as much as other people seem to have.
Right.
I see.
Those iterations.
Yeah.
Then
you're the everyman.
That's me. I'm every man at once.
Yeah.
So it cancels out every opinion.
That's what that means.
Median Adam.
I'm the man. So the multiplayer is the main element that the majority of people are coming to Call of Duty for.
I've heard tell that some people like Call of Duty multiplayer.
Let me tell you, this one's pretty fun.
Okay.
It's because all of the maps in it were good 14 years ago when they came out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's those maps remastered and they look nicer and they're changed up a little bit and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it has actually been kind of nice to play these maps again and go, fuck, I did play a bunch of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 back in 2009. And they're still good. The changes they've made to like your movement speed and how you move, and you've got like a slide thing now, and the time to kill is slightly longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it just means you've got a little bit more health.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? I can go back to stuff that I played maybe 5 years ago and have like, it's gone from my brain.
Mm.
But I've been playing on my analog pocket the original Wario Land, which I have not gone back to since I played it as a kid when it came out. And for some weird reason, so much of it is in there.
Yeah.
Like so many of the levels I'm going into and being like, yeah, I remember this. I guess it's just like I played it at the exact right formative moment where the brain is like,
yeah,
give me something. Whatever you give me right now, it's in there forever.
Yeah, the process from short-term to long-term memory was operating at its highest.
I was like, the sensory memory of firing up a level and being like, I'm in the back of the car, we're driving to Canberra, I'm on the, you know, it's like, it's so baked in there and yet like, yeah, I can watch a movie that I watched a year ago and I'm like, I don't remember what happens at the end of this.
Right. Well, I was playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the original, while I was working on my university degree, and I can't even tell you now what that even was. But I can remember each and every one of these levels pretty vividly.
Yeah. Do you think that these levels hold up on because they were better designed at the time?
Yeah, yeah.
It is better than
current levels.
Things were better in your day.
It was the original.
But actually
they were.
It was the proper Infinity Ward who then sprinted off to go and make Titanfall and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just a good set of maps that would have made for a great DLC for Modern Warfare 2, which is absolutely what they were.
Can you imagine one day Azuma being like, I tell you what, they just don't make them like Ant-Man and the Wasp anymore.
Yeah, and that's really depressing. I can imagine that.
Will happen, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not that movie.
Probably not that one. But
if you watched it when you were, if you were like eight now and watched it.
People turned around in those Star Wars prequels.
Yep.
True.
And, you know, we're like...
But that was us. That was... And I maintain that they're not very good.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I mean. Like, so, some things, it's not just nostalgia. They were genuinely...
These are well-made maps and they're fun to play in to this day. And that's all that you're able to do at the moment with this year's one. So there's no original maps in there or anything.
Okay.
So, I mean, taken for what it is, the multiplayer is good this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is fun. The maps are well-designed. I like the style of how they've changed up small-ish tweaks, really.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
those are all feeling good. It's just that... like the line, but like what this game even is and what like a full price game means anymore.
Right.
That line is blurry and that's the conversation that people are having.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's in part Call of Duty's fault, but is also, you know, just a progression of this game to being, a lot of people have viewed it this way for a while, like a FIFA year to year where people's expectations of it, so EAFC now or whatever.
It is bizarre that, yeah, with like an EAFC, it's like, well, all we're getting is like updated lineups from teams because of the transfer season and stuff.
Yeah.
Why am I spending $90 Australian on?
Maybe they built a new stadium somewhere.
Yeah.
And that'll be in there once every. But guess what? Yeah. Every soccer fucking pitch is the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also that stadium was built by slave labor, so it shouldn't be in there anyway.
Well, I was thinking of the Etihad. Wait, it's not even Etihad Stadium anymore, is it? It's Marvel Stadium now.
I was thinking of Qatar.
At least get the
World Cup, which was, know.
At least get some slaves to work on the dev team to design that stadium so that it's, you know, authentic.
Right.
So that the digital version.
Or get them to work on neither. Pay them for both.
No, well, that's not likely. it's such a weird thing with games where, like, the pricing structure is always up for debate with something like this or a remake or an online service where you're getting access to old stuff. Like, it is so all over the place where you just don't really see that conversation with anything else. Like it's, you know, a movie might be, you know, the cost of movies is always going up or a film might be re-released in the cinemas and it's like, I'm not expecting to pay less to go see something that's been re-released at Hoyts because I'm in the cinema. I'm in the same room. It doesn't matter that it's 20 years old.
Ticket price is just an inflationary thing that goes up with, you know, everything.
But it's just a newer medium where they're fucking with it still. Because I'm sure there was a point in the past where they're like, wait a minute, you didn't even play the newsreel before the movie.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? They used to all have newsreels. Fuck this.
I used to be paying my $2 and part of that cost was going to the little guy in the corner playing the piano live while I'm watching the movie.
True. Where's he?
And he's not there anymore. And yet the price has gone up.
Yeah, but I guess there is a crossover. I mean, and there's also the argument that I think is very fair and is very hard for people to accept that games should be based on the amount of money put into them, the time, the like pay that should be going to like the developers. Games should cost more than they do. Like it's kind of it's insane that you're getting a 70-hour experience for, you know, like if you compare it to a movie, it's like that doesn't line up at all. But
an actor makes millions,
right?
They work hard, but they're pretending in their life. But as a result of that, also there are other benefits to that. Whereas people work on these games in obscurity and then are still struggling to pay rent.
And it's because all pricing is just based on what your expectation is.
Yes,
and so games have this legacy expectation now that like software is escaping by moving to subscription models, which are more expensive overall.
Yeah,
than 100%. Things. People were so mad about cable back in the day, and like, oh, it's so expensive for all the shit. I'm not even going to watch. And it's come full circle back around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're paying more than you would have been for one of those if you had have subscriptions to four of them or whatever, yeah. which plenty of people do.
And I guess the game thing is also it is there is a crossover. It's like what you buy is not a physical piece of technology, but there's a crossover with like high-end electronics, like toys. You know, like you expect to have to pay more for the new
tech
fucking, you know, even if it's like a kid's scooter or something, you know, it's like, well, yeah, that will cost more because it's better.
Yeah, it's lumped in with like, yeah, toys / tech instead of consuming art.
Yeah, which it, yes.
And
yeah,
this essentially is.
An experiential thing. Yeah.
This costs the same as it has for ages for less new stuff and it's of lower quality.
Yeah. Right.
In a lot of places.
But guess what? That's fucking everything.
It was the number one selling game.
Yeah,
it,
guess
it
what?
Literally broke records of internet usage for one specific thing.
Right, right.
And like it's so they're not learning any lessons from this because people myself included, but I wouldn't have bought this if it weren't for this show, to be honest. But,
sure.
Yeah.
Like, however.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. I'm the real hero. All of these soldiers I'm playing as, they're stealing my valor.
Yeah.
Mm.
Ignoring all of that, which just to focus on it as a, you know, independent.
Mm-hmm. The thing that you experienced and are judging your experience of.
I like the multiplayer this year. But I think this game shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The duality of man.
Yeah.
Or of boy, since we're talking about Call of Duty. But like, it's a really weird one.
Mm.
It feels like they took a risk of just like trying on what they could.
Yeah,
with
what
this one.
What they can get away with.
And they fucking seem to have gotten away with it in some regards. But then who knows if the knock-on effect of like people thinking, oh, it's bad now will impact the next one or whatever. I don't think they can do it again.
There was like a threshold of like what people will accept. I don't know.
It's one of the weirdest things in video games because it's one of the biggest things. So like it's kind of uncharted waters for what you can get people to accept.
Right.
Because it's so big. Yeah, it's not good still, but it's fun also.
Cool.
I played Finity.
Oh yeah.
Got a free month of Apple Arcade. Fuck, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Affinity's a bit of fun.
Affinity's really good.
It's a good-ass game.
Yep.
Are you guys going to mention it at the end of the year? Or?
I haven't gone back to it, really. I had a bit of time with it. Got to a point where I just wasn't really progressing and then left.
I'm a bit the same. And also, there's already so much stuff on my list for the end of the year. Maybe
we should have a mobile games category.
Oh yeah, there were a few good ones this year.
But yeah, I was I think even more pleasantly surprised at the presentation and like the animation and stuff of it than because like you guys mentioned how good it was and
you got to nail those sound effects.
Yeah,
if you're making a little puzzler.
Yeah, good sound effects, great animation. Like that. Hey, I also can't convey accurately through words how good it is, but yeah, it's definitely
it's the perfect mobile game.
The perfect mobile game.
Yeah, or iPad 10 game. 10 out of 10. As you'll be playing it.
Hey, mobile iPads are mobile.
That's true.
God, the story in fucking Call of Duty sucks. I wish we could all have played it so that we could talk about it, but fuck, it's dumb.
I don't give a... Maybe we'll watch
a recap.
I'm happy to hear about it, but yeah, you're right. I can't also tee off on it.
I mean, okay, here's the problem with it. Sorry, I'm just still thinking about it because like it's...
Spoiler section?
Not even really, okay. Just in general. It's disgusting how they have increased the amount of blatant hoorah propaganda bullshit that this game is by turning the characters in it into these weird... They're all superheroes now, basically.
Right.
Where they even swap between, you know, in superhero movies where they'll sometimes call each other Iron Man, but sometimes they're like, hey, Tony.
Yeah.
It's like that with their call signs.
Okay, sure.
And they're all like these main character soldiers who are like the seemingly only people involved in this international conflict.
Right.
And it fucking stinks. They have one level where they have a go at their like no Russian sort of thing from back in Modern Warfare 2, which was, if you don't know what that means, it was a level that was called no Russian where you are forced to participate in a terrorist attack on an airport.
Yes.
Right.
And they do that sort of thing where there's a level where you are forced to blow up a plane kind of. It's fucking just done so without thought, you know, without any sort of
sensitivity
or like even awareness that the real world exists outside of this game.
Sure.
True, that, like a 13-year-old designing what they think is cool when they're not like...
At best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. A 13-year-old who's a fuckhead as well.
That's all of them. No offense. Yeah.
it just truly fucking sucks in that way where it's like a net negative for the world.
Right.
And then...
Because it's so popular, it's going to be influencing people subconsciously or otherwise.
With yeah.
This rot of content.
It's without thought.
Yeah.
It's one of the most empty things in the world. It's crazy.
Well, speaking of things being empty...
I liked it.
Speaking of things being empty, I really need to piss.
Oh,
so
really?
Let's wrap it up.
Should we empty that bladder?
Yeah, I'd love to go empty my bladder.
All right.
I've got more Call of Duty thoughts if you want to hear them.
I know, that's why I'm trying to wrap it up.
They may be unbearable even if you didn't need to piss, but yeah.
We could talk about it next week. Yeah, but that'll do it for today.
I want to watch a recap video. The way you describe these does make me want to just watch a quick
it's
sort of
fascinating
primer on
in
some
a way
of them.
Where like, yeah, it's one of the dumbest things you'll ever interact with, like the story in particular of that and the writing of it. But I don't know how much...
It's annoying that they've turned into the way that the Grand Theft Auto games parody video games within, you know, there'll be like the, who's like your son in 5 and he's just playing the worst kind. It's like it actively has turned into like the parody thing in the movie of like the toxic kid who's like into the war shooting games.
The fucking people and the things you hear them say to you in the multiplayer of that game
is
so friendly and kind.
Well, let's wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Come see me on tour November the 23rd in Sydney, November the 30th in Melbourne, tommydaslow.com for tickets. Head to our website, filthycasuals.com. Get on the Patreon. Support the show. Get the bonus show that we do every week, an hour plus of more content from us.
A lot of ribald talk about penises on this episode. There's going to be a lot of penis chat on this week's bonus.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you that much for... $10 Australian or US.
Yeah.
A month.
We're going to review our penises.
Yeah.
Check that out. That would get people to subscribe. We got the stuff going up on YouTube.
Just listen to what I said about Call of Duty and then apply it.
Yeah.
We just played through, we played a couple of rounds of Payday 3 that's going up on the YouTube channel.
For those clamoring for Let's Plays to return, we'll be doing more like, not series necessarily, but more little dips into games and, boy, if we didn't play a shitty FPS multiplayer game together in that video.
Yep.
Check that out.
Check that out. Guys, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Tommy's off to answer the call of duty. Nature. The words overlapped in my head to make it into like a pun, but then when you say something in real life, you can't say two words at the same time.
That was a disgusting content.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.